This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Who are some of the people, or what are some of the experiences which have brought lasting change into your family life? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today as we celebrate Mother's Day. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God in heaven, we thank you today for mothers, especially those mothers who have raised us in the faith, who have made clear to us the gospel of Jesus Christ, and who have told us that we have a Savior who will never leave us nor forsake us. God, it's a difficult day to be a mother, and so we pray that you will give grace to those who have been brought aside by you and are doing that mighty work in the home of raising boys and girls to grow up and be men and women of faith. Bless them, and we dedicate this Sunday to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends in Christ, this is Mother's Day. It's on this day that in a very special way we turn our thoughts to the home and primarily towards Mother, who is to be loved and honored in that place. And we say, to begin with, we thank God for every mother, and especially for those who are taking it very seriously in leading their sons and daughters into a living personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If I should then ask you the question, what are some of the experiences, or who are some of the people that have brought lasting change into your home? And I imagine that you'd start off by saying, well, of course, it has to be our children. Life was never the same after the first child was born, and that has to be right. Others would say, you know, I think another change that was equally as important as far as we as husband and wife were concerned was when the last child departed from the family household. That was a tough day. Now we were empty nesters. It was so quiet. The gang of young people who had been around our house was not there anymore. The cookie jar remained filled. How I wished it could have been emptied, a mother says. Yeah, that wasn't a pleasant experience. To say goodbye to the last one, at least it wasn't in our home, and I'm sure that it hasn't been in many homes. Then there are those experiences where a family member leaves us. He leaves us in death, and it takes a long time to try to get over the loss of one who has meant so much to the family. On the other hand, there are those who have left because of divorce. Absolutely could not stand it any longer, he or she said, and so out they went. And the home hasn't been the same. Children could not live there with their fathers and mothers, but had to spend one weekend with father and next weekend with mother. And it was a very, very difficult thing to accomplish in the best sense of the word. Those children have brought us blessings, and they have brought us some sorrows too. But putting it together, these are the things that have made our home the home that it is. Now let me change the subject for a minute to a different topic which might add to our discussion of changes in your family life. Let me ask you the question. In your thinking, where does Jesus Christ live? And somebody would say, well, I imagine you'd want to say in heaven. And that is the correct answer. Our Lord Jesus is in heaven. He has said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. He is talking about the heavenly home. Another one would say, well, I believe that the Lord Jesus can be found in the Bible. And that's right. And you turn and open especially the Gospels and you hear his voice. And then the appointed writers who are inspired talking about Jesus and all that he did. It is a marvelous thing. You meet him there again and again as he counsels us and tells us how to live and gives to us the assurance of our salvation by grace through faith in him alone. Others may say we find him in nature. And probably here they have the expanded viewpoint of God the Creator. And as we look at all these great things that have come from the hands of God, we realize that he is our Heavenly Father. And we sing out, my God, how wonderful thou art. Now back to our original question. What are some of the experiences or who are the people who have brought lasting change to your family life? Let me read just a portion of our scripture to you this day. And Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. And then notice this. This is recorded in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, verse 23. My Father will love him, and we, notice a plural pronoun, will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not mine own, they belong to the Father who sent me. In other words, Jesus is saying, we are anxious to come and make our home in your life. And that when that becomes a reality, there is no question that the one who makes most difference in our homes and our family circles is Jesus Christ himself. He is the one who sets the spirit. He is the one who develops the atmosphere in the home. And it is his voice that is the counselor. That's what happens when Jesus Christ is in your home, directing it every day. And the astounding fact is, and that's what we get on this Mother's Day, that he is the Savior who wants to come there. He wants to live in our homes. He wants to guide us and direct us and to tap us on the shoulder when we're saying and doing things that are wrong and say, no, no, you can't do that. He wants to be the one who can convict us of our wrong, and then he wants to be the one who will say, I will grant you the forgiveness of your sin. He is the one who will show us how to raise our children. We don't have to turn to this one, that one, and read the latest journal. The Lord Jesus has given us the basic truths as to how that son or daughter is to be raised. And if we will begin from day one and raise that child according to that word, I wonder how many of them will go away. Now let me ask you a rather silly question. Have you ever dreamed about what your life would be like if you had been born into another family? Did you probably have a day or so that you thought, oh man, I'd like to have been one of the kids in that family? You know, I have to confess, I had those days. My father and mother were not very highly educated, formally speaking. Both of them stopped going to school when they were at the end of the eighth grade, as did most young people at that particular time in history. So you could not say that they were highly educated. But we had a man in our town who had a PhD degree. I hardly knew what that meant. From the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. That man was a chemist in the paper mill of our town. And I used to think, what would it be like if you were the son of a doctor of chemistry and didn't go to the mill to do some task of making the paper, but sat in a lovely office and said how it should all come about? Ah, that would be wonderful. Little did I realize that my father and mother had not given me a lot of background as far as being highly educated, but they had given me a great introduction to the Lord Jesus Christ. That Savior who taught me that I was his, who gave me a security, who assured me of the forgiveness of my sins, who promised me that when life was over, I could live with him. That Savior who always gave me strength and courage to move on and a challenge in life as to what we could do as we touched the lives of other people. Far greater than that. I also remember the thoughts that went through my head as I wondered what it would be like if father and mother were really wealthy people. And we had some of those too, who lived in their large, large, luxurious homes and drove the big automobiles even in those days and went on nice trips and had a summer home at the ocean or at one of the lakes. And I thought, boy, maybe someday. And again, I would have to hurry on to say that my father and mother were not able to give me that, and I had to pass papers if I wanted to have a little spending money and probably begin to think about going to college. But they gave me the riches of his word, the riches of knowing that I was loved not only by them, but loved by God, and loved by his church and those who are around us. And they introduced me to a fellowship of people who had a common faith. And what great times we had together. I thought of this the other day as I was reading the April 16th issue of Time magazine. And it tells the story of Albert Einstein and God. And suddenly this thought flashed through my head. What would it have been like to have been the son of Albert Einstein, one of the greatest minds that ever lived, as far as we know? Well, I came to the conclusion, before I got done the article, that I would like to have met that man, but I would not want it to have been his son. I guess he had some kind streaks. They say that when he traveled, the article did at least, that he would write to his wife and to the adopted daughters who were his. When he was asked, "Are you a religious man?" he went on to say words like this that I can best translate for you, that when I see the mystery behind this whole universe, its creation and how everything works, and the laws of gravity and everything else that he was discovering, then he said, "I am a deeply devoted man, because there's got to be something behind it. And I honor and I respect this." In that sense of the word, yes. Call me a religious man. And when he was asked, "Do you believe in immortality?" he said, No. "No, I'm a one-lifer. That's enough for me." And when they asked him, "Do you believe in a personal God?" he said, "I believe in Spinoza." You know, the great philosopher Spinoza? Spinoza, God who reveals himself in the lawful harmony of all that exists, but not in a God who is concerned with the fate and the doing of mankind. In other words, a very, very impersonal God, whatever this might be. But not one who knows my name, and not one who cares about what's going to happen to me when I breathe my last breath. No, that's not my God. And so on April 17, 1955, Albert Einstein died at Princeton Hospital at the age of 76. He was cremated and his ashes were scattered. And they say that a pathologist removed his brain for preservation's sake in the hopes that one day scientists could discover what made him so very, very intelligent. Yeah, it'd been fun to meet him. And perhaps even spend a day or two with him. But boy, would I have been anxious to get back to my home, where Jesus Christ was honored and loved. And now, that Christian home that you lived in and that I lived in were not perfect by a long ways. We were sinful people, weren't we? We could have fights. And those fights sometimes made us get angry at one another. And the anger could sometimes go on for quite a few hours. But then this God, who the text talks about today, and who has come into our home, sends us a message. "Let not the sun go down upon thy wrath." We remember that. That's what you get, is counsel from God Almighty. And then, for example, when we get to the place of death, and we think, "Boy, is this going to be the end?" You know, I'm glad that my father and mother believed with all their heart, because Jesus had told them that, as he lived in our home, in our hearts, that when you breathe your last breath, then you're going to come and live with me. And so when Grandpa died, and in one of our bedrooms in our home where he was living with us after Grandma died, there was his frame. I discovered him. But right away, my father and mother said, on the basis of the counsel that had been given to us by God's holy word, Grandpa is now in heaven. That couldn't come from Albert Einstein. That couldn't come from the hearts of many of those who are extremely wealthy or highly educated, that was not an area of life that they knew. And so I began to see the riches of having God in our home, which simply meant that every day we read some of His Word. And those gems were put into our hearts and our minds, and it mattered not which way we turned, there He was to guide us and to direct us and to lead us. And what a marvelous, marvelous life it was. You understand, our home was no different than yours. It is a home where Jesus Christ is in control. And we thank God for this type of a home. And then remember those days when you were thinking about getting married yourself? You're out looking for a partner. I knew there was one thing that I had to have number one, and that was whoever that girl was, she had to be a Christian. We were not going to get into any situation where we did not share Christ Jesus together. And so we established our Christian home. And I'm sure that my wife had the same thought. I don't want to marry anybody but a Christian. And so after our engagement, we both agreed that we had to get started early. And so we began to have our devotions together. Every day that we were together, we would read a portion of the Word, and I listened to her pray. And she listened to me pray. And we began to understand how we were united in Jesus Christ. And this Word was drawing us closer and closer together. And now, 60 years later, each morning, we take out the Bible. This is pretty personal. We usually do not have anybody else in on this, just the two of us. For He has come to live in our home. And He is telling us, in this phase of our life, what we need to hear. This is what the home needs. It is the Word of God. Here we get the counsel. Here we get the strength. Here we get the direction. Here we can enjoy all of the good things of life and look positively even on some of the things that are not so good and say, well, we understand that God is in control. Here we can understand the freedom of the gospel and the power of that gospel, that He is going to lead, control, and guide us, and that our Christianity is not a bunch of legalistic laws. I recall when our oldest daughter had her first date, I said to my wife, are you going to give her a curfew? And she looked and said, no. Our daughter is a child of God. Jesus lives in her heart. And all I'm going to tell her is, you be a good girl, trust Jesus, let Him lead you and guide you. And that's all that she will need. We raised those kids, three of them, without a curfew. Who is the one who has influenced your life more than anybody? I know that many of you have come from Christian homes and you have established Christian homes, and it's been a marvelous time for you. For those of you who haven't, wouldn't you on this Mother's Day just stop and think, what would it be like if the one who influenced my home more than anybody else or anything else would not be much learning or money or prestige, but would be Jesus Christ? What a blessed home it would be. Listen to Leontine Price as she sings that great song, Bless This House. Amen.
This house, O Lord, we pray.
Make this safe by night.
Father in heaven, we remember those homes today where there is sickness that causes tension and disturbance, where there is strife that draws people farther and farther apart. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to them through your word, that Christ may be the one who changes that home. For we ask it in his holy name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We praise God for his provision and thank our faithful listeners for your faithful gifts and prayers, which are necessary to make this ministry a reality. Your gifts allow us to buy radio time throughout the country and internet access around the world to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that if this ministry has been of spiritual benefit, you will consider a donation of any amount. All gifts are tax deductible. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. Reverend Larson writes the feature article for each edition. The theme for the upcoming issue is faithfulness. If you would like to receive this mailing, please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.